the intro.
Hello. Hello. And welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I'm your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. Now that you've got a handle on frustration as an isolated event that on its own is just an event, and your appraisal of that event determines if it's good or bad or neutral, and that you've also got an operational understanding of frustration tolerance as your capacity to think rationally while frustrated, it's a bit easier to make the connection between the stimulus, the thinking, feeling, and urging about a frustration, right? Because if you're stimulated, you then go into cyclical orientation of thinking, feeling, and urging until that urging builds up to a point where you cash those urges in for a behavioral response. If the BS you tell yourself, the belief systems you hold about a frustration or frustrations in general are rigid, black and white, vague, well, then your frustration appraisal process will be slanted such that your tolerance of that frustration or any frustration will get gobbled up fast. That space between stimulus and response shrinks, and you're more likely to cannot brain and have the dumb. You'll respond impulsively and increase your chances of a destructive outcome. Now, if the BS, the belief systems you hold about a frustration or frustrations in general are flexible and reasonable, then your frustration appraisal process will slant you such that the frustration or any frustration will endure for far longer, and you'll have a much deeper well of tolerance. The space between stimulus and response grows, and you're more likely to can brain and have the smart. You'll respond on purpose and with purpose, increasing your chances of a constructive outcome. In the context of stimulus leading to thinking, feeling, and urging, frustration tolerance calms urgency. It calms urgency. It keeps you composed and rational when other people are doing dumb stuff that turns their minor frustrations into major problems. What is best when you pop a tire? Slash the other three tires. Duh. What's best if you fall off your nutrition plan? Binge on pizza and ice cream. Of course. Okay. What's best if your stocks go down in value? Well, you sell everything while the value is down. Of course. This is the only reasonable option. Thus, you dramatically decrease your chances of getting into double trouble when you have frustration tolerance in this regard, right? If it calms your urgency, because as your thinking, feeling, and urging cycles progress, okay, the urgency may upgrade into emergency. You can train yourself to tolerate and in many cases have near total influence over what frustrates you. We know this is possible because it's mostly derived from common sense. Yes! It's easier to stay calm when you appraise something as tolerable, neutral, or acceptable. It's hard to stay calm when you appraise something as urgent, irritating, or bad. And it's hardest to stay calm when you appraise something as an emergency, horrible, or disaster. If a frustration starts out tolerable, neutral, or good, and then somehow ends up as a horrible emergency that's a disaster, well, then it's self-evident the person somewhere along the line, or many times along the line, reappraised the frustration. They reappraised it. There's some sort of negotiation and renegotiation of imaginary terms they and the frustration have apparently agreed to. Think about learning a new skill, cultivating a healthier lifestyle, putting a puzzle together, standing in line at the bank. The frustration itself is the same frustration as before. It's the same. However, as urgency builds, it skews the appraisal process and sensitizes them to that frustration they started out oh so tolerant of. This is when it becomes easier to disturb themselves about it, where they cannot brain and have the dumb. Their thinking, feeling, urging becomes so strong they get a flare-up of the I can't stand it-itis and act like a silly goose, likely sabotaging themselves in some way. Get rejected? Can't stand it? Well, eating, drinking, scrolling, streaming, and sulking is the only obvious solution here. Venting advice is baby. Woo! What does that lead to? More frustrations that lead to more venting and vicing. Logic. Because logic. So, to build your frustration tolerance, you train yourself to appraise frustrations as tolerable, neutral, and good. And in most every circumstance, objectively, they are. If they were intolerable, unbearable, and you can't stand it, well, then you'd be dead. Would you have to bear it or stand it or tolerate it then? No. Okay then. So, since you are alive, they are tolerable, they are bearable, and you can stand them because you currently are. Because you are. Whoopsh, glad we got that out of the way. The real world situation stays the same. The difference is how much work and misery you make for yourself. This leads us to an important point. Tolerating frustrations for the sake of tolerating them is silly, and we covered that already. Unless you are using your oppression's tolerance as a way to actively resolve the frustration or to appraise the frustration properly, then you're going to make yourself miserable. And you'll eventually get a flare-up of I can't stand it-itis, and you will cannot brain and have the dumb. Okay? If you have a long commute, then using that time to depress yourself or build up rage is a stupid idea. However, with the amount of people that do it, you'd think an attractive celebrity recommended it as a way to make all your problems go away. The commute is here to stay. Make the best use of it to learn a new language, listen to audiobooks, use the time to interview with companies that have work from home positions, whatever. What was a time to stew and brood is now a fulfilling part of your day, and in many cases becomes the most fulfilling part of your day. Lots of feedback there. Sometimes people lose their commutes and they get weird because like they use that time to improve themselves, you know? Little meta reading. What was a drain on their frustration tolerance is now a source of frustration tolerance. What was a drain on their reservoir now filled their reservoir back up. The same frustration reappraised from horrible to bad and then good. Okay? Would this person rather work from home? Yes. This is different than saying, I love my 90-minute commute every day. It's amazing. I wouldn't trade it. No, that's silly. You're allowed to have another preference. Would this person rather work from home? Yes. If the person would rather work from home, does that mean they have to work from home? I must work from home or else I can't stand it and it's a horrible disaster. Well, I'll brood and make myself angry and depressed the whole way to work. No. Although a screwy appraisal process can make you feel that way pretty fast, right? The real world situation stays the same. The difference is how much work and misery you make for yourself. Since some frustrations are short-lived and pass, like cravings or rude strangers, and some frustrations are practically speaking here to stay, like that commute, for instance, this is also where the appraisal process shines. Some stuff is worth ignoring. Does it make sense to resolve the frustration of somebody cutting you off or getting a rude comment from a stranger or stubbing your toe? Do you resolve these frustrations? No, these are temporary frustrations that may irritate you or so rudely, but temporarily violate your sense of fairness. To that end, it's almost entirely about appraising them properly. You'd rather have other things happen. Sure. Though, these things are practically nothing and they pass. So you can move on and put energy into solving problems and reaching goals that are worth putting energy into, that matter. If your frustration tolerance is high enough, then you realize very fast that knee-jerk appraisals are often silly. They typically are. That's the impulsivity, okay? Everybody has crazy impulsive feelings and urges. Saner people just cut them off faster because their tolerance is high and that they can reappraise these situations at lightning speed and move on with their life. This means that you can learn to recognize what's worth addressing. If you pay attention to everything, you'll achieve nothing. So this is about an economy of attention so that you can home in on what matters, the things you have influence over. Thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Cashy? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Cashy is out!